Today's daf is daf hey. We're going to start four lines from the bottom of daf dal and amubet v'rabanan. So we had yesterday, just to refresh your memory, we had the machloket in the Mishnah on dal and amud aleph about if did Edim Zomim get a double punishment? Do they get malkot for lotan eberechai chaker according to Rabbi Meir? And additionally, they'll get either malkot or payment or whatever it might be. Obviously, in a case of death, you're not going to get all of them. Or do we say, no, you don't get malko for lotan eberechai chaker because it's lav shein bo maaseh, and you only get malko, you only get the kasher zaman, which would either be malko or money, whatever it might be. So the Rabbanan were the ones who said that you don't get malkot for lotan eberechai chaker. So Rabbanan, now we have to explain according to them, hi lotan eberechai chaker, my darshe be. What do you do with that pasuk? If you don't learn from it that it's a lotaseh, right? If it already says kasher zaman, that means you can't do this, right? You're not allowed to lie falsely. So why does it also say in a different place, lotan eberechai chaker? So the Gemara answers, if you remember, we have punishments, and you also need azharot. What?
That Edim Zomim didn't get.
No, that's warning. That's hatra'ah. Ah. There's a difference between hatra'ah and azharah. Hatra'ah means the witnesses have to be warned. But here's a concept that in order for anyone to get punished for something, there has to be not only a mention of the punishment in the Torah, but the Torah has to also specify that it's forbidden to do. That's called an azharah. That's okay. Not warning.
Thanks.
That's that people have to be warned that there's such a thing as an isur in the Torah. The Torah has to tell us, number one, it's a sur. Let's just put it that way, right? The Torah has to say, it's forbidden, and this is the punishment you get. So we're in the Pesukim about kasher zaman la'asot l'achiv, there it all talks about the punishment, but it doesn't say it's a sur to do. So therefore, where do we get it from? So we get it from lotan eberechai chaker. That's what the Rabbanan do with that Pesuk. So now, obviously, we're going to have to ask, according to Rabbi Meir, who learns that that's a punishment, where is he going to learn the azharah from? Rabbi Meir, azharah le'edim zomim minale. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, nafka le'mei. The pasuk by Edim Zomim says, v'hanishma'im, v'hanish'arim, yishma'u v'yirau, v'lo yosifu od. Okay, it says, and all the people around, right, they make a spectacle of this, and everyone around hears and sees, and they won't do this again. Lo yosifu od is, don't do this again, right? In other words, there's your lo taseh, your warning. Here's your warning, don't do it again. V'rabbanan, what do you do with that? In other words, why do you say you need lo tane berechai chaker and lo yosifu od? Hahum abayle lahachraza. The rabbis say, no, that pasuk, the lo yosifu od, is teaching you that you need to announce it. Okay, now what would they do for announcing? We learned this in Sanhedrin, that there's four people who need hachraza, if you remember, right? There's four different places where it says, and, you know, this should be a spectacle so everybody knows. And they would also, they would send letters around to all the different cities explaining that we had an Edim Zomim and this, you know, this is the punishment they got. So now, so v'anishmim yishuvi yirav, lo yosifu od, isn't a lo tase, it's just teaching you, you have to do hachraza. For Rabbi Meir, what about Rabbi Meir then? If he needs this to teach you about hachraza, how can he possibly say this is the azhara? Hachraza miyishmuvi yirav nafka. In other words, there's two sections of this pasuk. Hanisharim yishmuvi yirav, that teaches you, You have to tell everybody about it. Lo yosifu od is the azhara to teach you this forbidden to do, to be an Edim Zomim, okay, which is your azhara. So there we have it. So either your azhara is from lo yosifu od, or your azhara is from lo tane berechai chaker. Mishalshim b'mamon nu mishna ve'ei mishalshim b'makot. Okay, so we split up mamon payment. We learned this already. If Edim Zomim were supposed to, said you were supposed to pay 100 shekel, then they split it. If it's two witnesses, they'll split it in half. Three witnesses, they'll split it in thirds, and so on. Ve'ei mishalshim b'makot. But you can't split up malkot. You don't say, oh, you get 20, and you get 20. Ketzad. Hi'idu shu chayav l'chavero matayim zuz. Here, okay, here's your example. The Mishnah is spelling it out very simply. If someone says, if two people said you owe 200 zuz, v'nimtzu zomimim, this Mishnah, by the way, they tell you, and they become zomimim, even though all the other Mishnah, they assumed you figured that out. Mishalshim b'nehem, they split it between them. Aval imi idu shu chayav malkot arba'im v'nimtzu zomimim, kol echa ve'echad loke arba'im. Okay, that was obvious. Gemara, menahane mile. Where do we learn this from? That you can't split up malkot. Amar Abaye, ne'emar rasha b'chay ve'malkiyo, ve'ne'emar rasha b'chay ve'mitobetin. We talked about this yesterday, or maybe 2 days ago, that there's basically three categories. There's mamon, there's malkot, Malkut and there's death, right? There's Mita. Thank you. Okay, Mama, Malkut, and Mita. So now, clearly Mita and Mamon are different, okay? The question is, where does Malkut connect to? Is Malkut like more like death, or is it more like Mamon? So there's the Gzera Shava that people like to quote. It gets quoted in a bunch of different places about this. It says, Rasha in Chayve Mitopetin. Okay, read to the Psukim. V'lo tekofer lenefesh rotzeach asher hu rasha lamut ki mot yumat. You can't pay your way out of a death sentence because you have to die. And there it says, because he's a Rasha. And it says, Rasha v'haya im bin hakot ha-rasha, my Malkut. Right, that's, you get the Malkut if you're, or the truth is, here they're quoting, it's not that one. They say, Vasitim lo kasher zam. One second, let me make sure that's the one they're quoting.
Yeah.
Oh, no, maybe not. Wait. Rasha b'chayv, right. Vayan bin akota rasha. Okay, it's from that pasuk. Vayan bin akota rasha. So they say, that shows Rasha by Malko, Rasha by Mita. We're going to assume that they're the same. Okay, but we don't equate them for everything. We've seen this before. Sometimes it's more Malko goes with Mamon. But for this purpose, we're going to say you're Rasha for both. What's the connection? Mala halan ein mita lemechtze. Afkan ein Malkut lemechtze. Right? We don't, if two people testify that he killed someone, we don't half kill each of them. Ein kaze davar. So, what do we say? Malkut must be the same. Rava Amar, second reason. Be'inan ka'asher zamam lasat lachiv veleka. So he says you need to give him whatever he tried to do to the other guy. And if you give him 20 lashes, that's not what he tried to do. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Rafa. Ihachi mamonami. You could say the exact same thing. If they wanted to get him to pay 200 zuz and he only pays 100, well, that's also not kasher zaman. So what are the answer? Mamon mitzdaref, malkot lo mitzdaref. Money, if you're the defendant, let's say, who got convicted, you know, or was attempted to be convicted by these edim zomimim, so you were going to be out 200 shekels. So when they pay you back, the 200 shekel that they were going to make you pay, so the mamon joins together. But malkot, if they each do 20 malkot, those don't go together. Now, the Gemara doesn't exactly express the differences here, but I think the differences are obvious, which is that mamon is, there's two different types, there's two different aspects of punishments. Punishments are, number one, to compensate the other person, and number two, for you to have kapara, so to speak, for you to have an act that, you know, punishes you, a punitive, I would say, not even kapara, but punitive, for you to be punished for what you did. So in the case of mamon, we view mamon less as a punitive penalty, but more as compensating the other person. In which case, if you pay the mamon, you compensate him. Now here, you're not compensating him for any money, financial loss, because he didn't actually pay the money. But you're compensating him for what you did to him, and the money is kind of a compensation. But when it comes to malkot, it's punitive. It's not compensate. It's not compensation. So if it's punitive, well, then there's a measurement of what's considered punitive. And to get half the amount of lashes, that's not really a punishment. I mean, in our world, getting 20 lashes does seem pretty serious. But anyway, right, you got to imagine that there's a measurement for what Malkut is. And if you don't get that, well, then you haven't really gotten punished. So I think that's a different way of reading it, which could be even read into the Gemara. It's just the Gemara says very simply, but it really means much more. Matniti, new Mishnah. Ein ha'edim nasim zomimim. This is the Mishnah we said the Besechet should have started with. The edim don't become zomimim ad she'azimu at atzmam, until they mess up each other, okay, which means that there's a problem in what, you know, how they said what they said. Ketzad, what's the case? Amrumi edim, first we're going to have the case that's not zomimim, then we're going to have the case that's zomimim. Amrumi edim anu b'ish ploni sharagat ha-nefesh. They said he killed someone. Amru lahem he'achatem edim shaharei neherag ze o ha-horeg ze haya imanu. They testify against the contents of what they said, meaning the contents of the person who was killed or the person, the murderer. In other words, how could you possibly testify about this guy on that day? Because this guy was with us, or the murder, or the victim was with us on that day. That, we basically have contradictory testimony. Okay? Ein elu zomimim.
Can't they also say that they deem themselves were with them? There's three options. The murder?
Right, this is one option, which we call Edud HaKhashad. This isn't Edim Zomimim, where they say, you say he killed, but we were with the murderer, or we were with the victim at the same time in a totally different place, in which case, you know, we think he murdered on this day, and we think he did it murder on that day because he wasn't there, or the victim wasn't there. It couldn't have happened. That's regular contradictory testimony, and we have no idea who to believe. But aval amru lahem he'ach atem mi'idim sharei atem ra'yitem imanu oto hayom b'makom ploni. You were with us on that day. So maybe the guy killed, we have no idea. We're not contradicting your testimony, but we're saying, or at least your testimony, your details about the murder itself, but we're saying that you're claiming it happened on a particular day in a particular place, and we were with you at that day and that time somewhere else. Okay? Hare elu zomimim v'neragim al pihem. Okay, we're going to talk a bit more in the Gemara about why this is, so I'll stop. I won't discuss it now. We'll discuss it in another minute. Next case in the Mishnah. Bau achirim vihizimum. Bau achirim vihizimum. Afilu mea. Okay, I'm going to go with one interpretation of what this means. Assume two witnesses come into court and say he killed on this day. Come two more witnesses and say, wait, you were with us at a party at blah, blah, blah. At that time, at that day. Okay. Then they knock him out, right? And the first cop gets killed. Then comes another group that says, oh, but we saw him murder at that day, at that time. Come the Edim HaMizimim, they're called, and they say, but you were with us. Why did I say a party? Because, right, you were with us. There was a big party going on. I'm just saying, for example, right? And you were with us at that time somewhere else you couldn't have seen. Comes in another cut, right? Up to 100 even, and it doesn't even mean up to 100. It means even if 100 people came, and they keep testifying that the murder happened at this time, at this place, and every single time, the same group of witnesses say, but you couldn't have been there. Right? Okay? That's one way of reading it. I won't get into the details of the other, but the other is that every other, in other words, one testifies and then that one says, Imanu Ayitem. And then that one says, no, but you were with us at the time you said Imanu Ayitem. And you were with us. You know, and it keeps spiraling. But this one, we're going to stick with the basic interpretation, which is it's one group who keeps knocking out every single group. Kulam Yahargu. Okay? We kill all those sets of, let's say, for example, 100 witnesses who all came and testified about this murder, when every single time these two guys keep saying, oh, but you were with us, you were with us, you were with us, you were with us. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, istatitizo, that's clearly a conspiracy. What are you talking about? There's no way they were with all those people. Clearly they're lying. Veino neherag elakata rishona bovad. And the only ones who get killed is the first group. This makes no sense. The first group, why should they get killed, right? So we're going to leave this aside. The Gemara is going to have to deal with what's this. Eno neherag ala kat rishona bilvad. Okay, going back to what's considered edim zomim. So the Gemara immediately asks, minahan emile, where do we know that this is edim zomim when you say imanu hayitem? So we're going to have two different answers. Amar av ada damar kra vihine ed sheker ha'ed, sheker ana. Okay, it says, right, and you find out that he's an ed sheker, he spoke a lie. How do you know the aid is an aid sheker? Because not that they testified something different than the aid, but they testified about the aid. Okay, that's what they're basically saying. Until the aid himself has turned out to be a liar. So how does he turn out to be a liar? Because you testified directly against the aid. You follow the difference? If you testify against the victim, about the victim or the murderer, so that's testifying about what they said. But if you testify directly against the witness and say, but you were with us, that's basically edim zomimi. Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, a different answer. And Rabbi Yishmael, they said, la'anot bo sara. Okay, v'inei checker ed checker nabach. This is v'darshua shoftim etev, v'inei checker ed. And the two psukim before, it says, ki yakum ed chamas be'ish, la'anot bo sara. So how do they explain sara? Until the, again, it's dealing with the gufa shel edut, until the guf of edut is like moved away and it's pushed off. Okay, so again, how do you push off witnesses? You knock out the witnesses, just like, talked about this before, just like you can testify that the edim were gazlanim, they were robbers, and then we don't believe them in a court, or you could testify that they're related, right? You could testify against the edim and knock them out. So edim zomim is just another form of knocking out the edim. You're basically saying these guys are liars because they're claiming they were in one place and we know they were in another place, and nobody challenges that. Now, nobody comes except for maybe the edim themselves, but they're no gei b'davar. We now have a dude, two witnesses that come and say, you were somewhere else. Nobody says that they weren't. So that testimony would stand then. because that's good testimony. Okay, it's basically unchallenged testimony because they're not disagreeing about facts. That would be, right, a contradictory testimony. Because remember, if they're both testifying against the murderer, so we have two witnesses testifying about the murderer and another two witnesses testifying about the murderer, we don't know who to believe. But if you have two witnesses testifying about the murderer and then two witnesses testify against the Edim, like I said, nobody's disagreeing with the Edim, the second group of Edim. Nobody's saying, we have proof that the Edim were somewhere else, and the Edim themselves can't testify against them because they're no Gea B'davar. So we don't have any sort of testimony to knock that out, so therefore we stick with that testimony.
What's okay. to stop, like, the family of the victim from just accusing the Edim?
What's to stop them? The fear that, I mean, they're lying. You know, there's an Isur D'Oraita to lie, and... Oh, I mean,
but
that's...
you're protecting your family member from getting...
Well, you could get caught. People won't believe you. Remember, they ask the question. The witnesses lots of questions. Remember, they do drishot and chakirot and check. And no, it's not simple to lie falsely.
The other thing that's, to me, very curious about all of this is it has so much to do with time. You weren't there then. But, you know, now we have time stamping, and now we can know. But, like, what if somebody left, like, the party... and went afterwards. They didn't know exactly
So we're going to discuss a few things that relate to that right now, okay? So hold off. Amar Rava, Bau Shnayim V'amru, B'mizrach Bira Harag Ploni Et HaNefesh. Okay, on the east side of town, he killed him. U'Bau Shnayim V'amru, V'halo B'ma'arav Bira Imanu Ayitem. Not that you were in a different city entirely, but you were on the west side of the city. Chazinan, so we check, okay? In other words, just because they're on, and this is what you're saying, they were at the party then, but maybe they... You know, maybe they went somewhere else and they left the party and they got to the spot. So if you're talking about two cities that were far away, so it's obvious. But if you're talking about two parts of the same city, chazina, we check. And as we do testing, here this isn't even moving. This is, if you're on the west side of the city, can you see the east side of the city? Okay, is that, can you view from one side to the other? Then, if you can see, then ein elu zomamim. You could say, yes, it's true, we were b'mizrach b'ra, but we were able to see it b'marav b'ra, or whichever direction. V'im lav, harei elu zomamim. So the Gemara says, pshita, why are you telling us this? It's obvious. If you can see, then obviously you're not going to be eidim zomim. If it's not possible to see, then you're not going to be. Then, yeah, I'm sorry, then you are going to be eidim zomim. So what does the Gemara say? Ma'u ditema lichush l'nehor b'ria. Kamashmalan. You might have thought that maybe this person has extra good vision and could see things that other people can't see. Kamashmalan, that we don't. We go by the standard, okay? If the standard person can't see, then we don't assume maybe this person had extra good vision. Va'amarava, another case. Ba'ushnaim varmu b'sura b'tzafra b'cha b'shabta harad ploni et ha-nefesh. Okay, in the city of Sura, in the morning, on Sunday, Chab Shabbat is the first day of the week, Harag Ploni Et HaNefesh. So Sunday morning in Sura, he killed. Ubao Shnayim Vamru, Bepanya in the afternoon, Bechab Shabta, Imanu Ayitim Bin Hardea. Right? We were in Nehardea with you in the afternoon. And they claim you couldn't have gotten from Sura to Nehardea. Right here, like Shari said, we're not even talking about exact time. Morning, afternoon, right? There's a big range of time here and getting from one place to the other. So Chazinam, we check. If you can get from the morning till the afternoon from Sura to Nehardea, then they're obviously not zomimim. Vilav havuzomimim, and if not, then they are. So the Gemara again asks Pshita. So Ma'u Detema, this is one of my favorite lines. Lichush legalma parcha. You might have thought that we have to worry about maybe the guy had a flying camel. Okay? Here's a good example of the Torah had, the Gemara, the rabbis had insight into the future, right, about airplanes. So maybe, you know, there's some faster way to get there, right? Maybe he took the Concorde, you know. Maybe you could get there. Kamash Malan, we don't. We assume he used standard method of transportation. I assume what they meant by Gamla Parcha is a speedy, fast camel. They just used the Lashon of Parcha Lifrochva, like to fly in the sky, you know, as an image. V'amarava, Bau Shnayim V'amru B'cha B'shab T'harag Ploni Et HaNefesh. Okay, so the guy said on Sunday he killed. Ubao Shnayim Vamru, Imanu Ayitim B'cha B'shabta, Ela B'tshrei B'shabta Harag Ploni Et HaNefesh. The Edim come and they say, you were with us on Sunday. He didn't kill him on Sunday, but he did kill him on Monday. We saw him kill on Monday. So now there's a strange case. What did we say before? Remember, Harago Ein Neharagim, right? Which we explain, right? If they succeed in getting him killed, then they don't get killed. Now notice the word harago. If they succeed at getting him killed, then they don't get killed. But in this case, what happened? Someone else succeeded in getting him killed. So did the Edom Zomimim also get killed? So now we're going to see. Okay. So they say, no, it happened on Monday. V'lo et ela afilu amru erev Shabbat harag ploni et hanefesh. And even if they claim that the murder happened before the day that the Edom testified, right? The Edom said, we think he killed on Sunday. Come the witness and say, we were with you on Sunday. But in fact, he killed Friday, the day 2 days before you mentioned that he killed, that you thought so. Neheragin. Okay? They still get killed. Why? Because again, when they testified at that moment, in other words, you have to look at it at a cut in time. At that moment when they testified, Gavra la bar ketalehu, he was not supposed to die at that point. He was not a dead man. He only became convicted of murder after. So basically, at the moment they testified, they tried to kill someone. Remember, if you try to kill someone who's already a dead man, so there's something wrong with that because they were going to get killed anyway. But in this case, he wasn't a gavra ketaleh. Now, why is it relevant if they say even the day before, right? Even if they said Friday, so we're going to get to that. So now the Gemara says, "My kamashlan, what are you trying to teach us, Rava, by saying this? Tanina, we already, if you want to teach us this, we already learned it in a Mishnah. Lefichach, is it a Mishnah? I think it's a Mishnah. Lefichach, it's definitely a Makor Tanai. I can't remember if it's a Mishnah. Let's see, Zion. It's a Mishnah?
It's a Mishnah.
Right, it's a Mishnah on the next stuff, I think. Yeah. Okay. Lefichach, nimtzeit echad mehem zomemet. Okay, so maybe we should look at the next Mishnah, okay? Because it'll be more helpful, right? Obviously, it's a Mishnah, I remember. Okay, this is a very famous Mishnah. It's a case where if you look at Bava Mabed at the very top, Hayushnaim ro'ino tomi chalon zeh, ushnaim ro'imo tomi chalon zeh. Okay, imagine a courtyard, and there's a murder going on in the middle, and two witnesses are looking from one window, and two witnesses are looking from an opposite window. Ve'chab matrebo ve'emtza, and one warns him in the middle. Bizman shemiksatim ro'im elu et elu, hare elu edut achat. If they see each other, then they're considered one group of witnesses. V'im lav, hare elu shtei eduyot. But if not, they're viewed as two kitot nifradot. Now, what's the relevance? Here comes our line. Lefichach, im nimtzeit echad mehem zomemet, hu vehein neheragin. If one of them becomes an ed zomem, what did we say? Ad sheyazimu shneihem, right? The whole kat has to be huzam in order to get the punishment. But here, since they didn't see each other, they're viewed as two separate groups, which means that if one of them turned out to be an Eid Zomem, they claim they were there, they weren't there, all that, then they would get killed, and the Baal Din would get killed by virtue of the other testimony. So here you see that you could have a case where he gets killed and the witnesses get killed, okay? Because you don't have to say Ad sheyazimu kulam, because they're two separate groups. Okay, so now, so you can learn the same halacha from this Mishnah. So why would Rebbe need to tell you something that's explicit in the Mishnah? Here, so let me just read. Lefichach nimtzeit echad mehem zomemet hu v'heinehragin, v'ashniya p'tura, right? And the other group is obviously going to be patur, because they testified legitimately. So now they say, seifa masha'en kem b'gmar din itzdricha leh. Rava really needed to make a statement. This was just the beginning of Rava's statement. The Gemara kind of cut it off and just quoted the beginning part. But really what he was trying to say is he brought that, which is obvious, but he brought that to contrast it with the next case. What's the next case that Rava mentioned? Ba'u shnayim v'amru b'cha b'shabta nigmar dino shel ploni. This isn't that they're testifying about the murder scene. They're testifying that they saw, what we talked about this before, someone can be convicted of Eid Zomim and then run away before the Gmar Din, right? They escaped. So now, people come and testify about the fact that the court convicted him. So now, right, they're going to say, oh, we were in the court on Sunday and we saw the court convict so-and-so. Ubau shnayim v'amru, b'chab shabta imanu ayitem. Okay, we were with you on Sunday. You didn't obviously see this Gmar Din in the court. Ela be'er Shabbat nigmar dino shel ploni. But really, it happened on Friday, and we saw it on Friday. Below, oh, now can you see where this is going? Because if they saw it on Friday, right, then what happens? They testified it happened on Sunday. But they say already Friday, the guy was convicted, meaning before, and he was already convicted, which meant he was a gavra ketaleh by Sunday. But even that order doesn't even matter, because below it, ela filam rubishrei b'shabta nigmar dino shel ploni. Even if they say it happened the day after you said it happened, still, ein elu neheragin. They don't get killed. Why? Because they're testifying both after Friday and both after Monday. In other words, no matter what, they're testifying after the Gemar Din already happened. After the Gemar Din happened, these Edim Zomimim were going to get killed, right? They have a death sentence on them, which means that they're called a Gavar Ketala, right? So B'Idna B'Kama Sade, when they testified Gavar Bar Ketala, who he was a dead man already, and therefore they didn't end up, right? They weren't doing anything that wasn't going to happen to them anyway. They're already considered a dead man. And the same thing would apply for Tashlume Knas. Why Tashlume Knas? Okay, what's Tashlume Knas? They're going to give an example of Ganav V'Tavachu Machar. You steal an animal, you slaughter it, and then you sell it. So the right, if it's a seh, right, it depends if it's a seh or a like a small animal or a big animal, right, like a shor or a para. I forget what the classic case is. But it's either 4 or 5. So what happens here? Right? You were with us on that day. You couldn't have said it. It was a different day. So mishalmim, they would have to pay. Right? He didn't have to pay this knas. But if you say there was already the gemar din, right, whether they claim the Gemar Din happened before or after, it doesn't really matter, because either which way, he was already chayav the knas. So therefore, Nigmar Din, right? They don't pay to be eaten at the Kamasade, because when they testified, Gavra Bar Tashlumin, who he was already chayav to pay. Now, why is this different in that it's only true for Knas and not Mamon? For Mamon, if they testified once, let's say they testified the week later, right? And sometime in the previous week, witnesses had come and testified about that he owed money, and they... and he wasn't convicted yet. Okay, they hadn't had a Gemar Din. Since the Edim came and testified about Mamon, and since we assume that we don't grill witnesses for Mamonot the same way we grill witnesses for Nefashot, it's basically a done deal. This is like innocent to proven guilty. Not exactly when it comes to Dine Mamonot. If witnesses came already, well, it's a little different because it's not innocent to, but proven, what does proven mean? Proven means either the court decides, or proven in a Mamon case is when the witnesses come. Because a knas is something the court, if you remember even, you can't do knasot in Bavel because they didn't have smicha. Like knas is a court-determined thing. Whereas mamon is facts on the ground. Did you owe the guy money? You know, did you take a loan or did you not take a loan? That's just facts. So once the edim come, that's sufficient. That's as if there's the Gemar Din. So therefore, if they came before the Gemar Din, right, and they weren't testifying about the Gemar Din, they were testifying about what transpired in the court, or what happened actually, and in the court they had already brought Edim, then the Edim Zomim also wouldn't have to pay because they really didn't do anything that wouldn't have happened in any case. Okay? So now we're moving to the conspiracy. Rabbi Yehuda Amar istititizo. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, which is istititizo, if it's conspiracy, afilu karishona anilo. Conspiracy means we assume the mizimim, remember we have to get this term straight, mizimim are the ones who turn the Edim Zomim into Zomimim, they say imanu ayitem. So the mizimim are clearly the liars, in which case the first katz certainly shouldn't be killed, because if we assume in this, we generally assume that if you say imanu ayitem, you're the one telling the truth. But once it's proven, or again, it's a little tricky. It's not exactly proven, but Rabbi Yehuda assumes that it's a conspiracy if they knock out 100 groups of witnesses and they keep saying, we're with you, we're with you, we're with you, we're with you. It seems odd, right? So he says, afilu karishona anamilo. Why does the Mishnah say only the first cut gets killed? Even the first cut shouldn't get killed. Amar Rabbi Avahu shekadmo v'harago. It's not that they should get killed. The Mishnah is talking about what happened. The Edim came and said he killed. The Mizimim came and said imanu ayitem. They killed the first group. Then came a new group of witnesses and said, you know, we saw the murder. Then came the second group, the Mizimim, and said imanu ayitem. And when they knocked the second group out, we say, oh, right, like a light bulb lights up in our head, right? What's going on here? They must be liars. But it's too late to save the first cop because they've already been killed. Okay, so Then the Gemara questions, my dehava hava, what you think the Mishnah is just telling us about what happened? The Mishnah generally tells us what you're supposed to do, not what happened, what transpired. So Ella Amarava, so Rava disagrees with this interpretation and says, Hachi Kamar, this is what it means to say. Im eina ela katachat neheraget. Iikatve ein neheragim. When it says, Eino neherag ala kata rishona bilvad, this means in a regular case of Edim Zomim, you kill the first kat if there's another kat that comes to contradict them. But if that kat that comes to contradict them, or that comes to mizimim otam, keeps knocking out, once a second group comes, then already you determine that they're liars. So in other words, Edim Zomimim works as long as it's one against one. But as soon as it turns to one against two, you know, and every the second kat came, then already we say, already we're worried about a conspiracy. Okay, so therefore it's im eina elakat achad, then nehereget. But if there's more, ein neheragim. So then the Gemara says, but that really doesn't match the words of the Mishnah either, because it says ha bilvad kamar. It says eino neherag elakat rishona bilvad. That sounds like we only kill the first group in this case. It doesn't sound like what Rav is trying to say. The Gemara says kasha. You're right. It's a difficult reading, but nevertheless, they just point out it's difficult. Now we're going to have a situation. Hayi itata, there was a woman. Ta'ate sa'ade v'ishtakor. She brought witnesses to prove her case in court, and they were found out. Ishtakor means they were turned out to be shakranim. Okay, they were knocked out as witnesses. Ate sa'ade, there's a bit of a similar case, right? She now brings another group of witnesses to prove her case. V'ishtakor, and they get knocked out again. Okay? Azla ate sa'ade achrine, she goes to bring a third group. Dilo ishtakor, that no one was able to say imanu ayitem. Okay. Amarish lakish huchzakazo. This woman is already muchzak. Okay, this is, by the way, a good case where you see already twice can be considered chazaka. We've talked about this sometimes twice and this three times. She's already huchzaka that she brings false witnesses, so we can't accept this third group. Because the assumption is she hired false witnesses. She must have paid them money. These guys came forward, right? We can assume that they're liars, even though we don't have any proof that they're liars. Amar le Rabbi Elazar, im hiuchzaka, kol Yisrael mihuchzaku, just because this woman is a liar, she's not the one in court right now. In other words, just because she brought two groups of witnesses that are liars, that has nothing, no bearing on these two nice guys who so far have been proven to be liars. Why should we assume that they're lying? Zimnin, now the story continues. So there was a day where Havayatvu Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, both wrote, okay, this was a debate between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Elazar. Both of them were sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Ataki Haima Sela Kamayu, a similar case like to this came up before them. Amar Rish Lakish, Huchzakazo, Rish Lakish says, she's Muchzaka to be a liar. He stays with his opinion, right? He didn't agree with Rabbi Elazar, sticks with his own opinion. We'll see if this is good or not. Amar Le Rabbi Yochanan, im Muchzakazo, Kol Yisrael mi Huchzaku. Rabbi Yochanan gets up and says, now you have to remember, Rabbi Yochanan was more senior to Rabbi Elazar and Rish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan now says exactly what Rabbi Elazar said, right? Just because she's muchzak to be a liar, kosrom lihuchziku, hader chazir le Rabbi Elazar bishut. Rish Lakish gets really angry at Rabbi Elazar. Amar le, shamat mili mibar nacha velo amart li mishmei. You learned this from Rabbi Yochanan? You didn't tell me you learned it from Rabbi Yochanan? Why was he so crazy about this? The assumption is, if he had known it came from Rabbi Yochanan, he never would have had the chutzpah to say it in front of Rabbi Yochanan, his own opinion. That's a little strange, because Rish Lakish is always arguing with Rabbi Yochanan. But I think he just feels like he was a little bit, Rabbi Elazar pulled one over on him a little bit and embarrassed him in front of Rabbi Yochanan, because he should have known maybe that that was Rabbi Yochanan's shita. He should have, maybe he would have said it in a bit of a different way if he had known. It's one thing to argue with something with your friend, but Rabbi Yochanan was a bit of a senior. He would have said it maybe in a different manner in front of him. So anyway, he gets angry at Rabbi Elazar and says, how could you have learned this? What's interesting about this, this whole thing is out of respect for Rabbi Yochanan, but he calls him Bar Nafcha, which is right, the son of the Napach. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is called. Right, he was the son of a glassblower. They call him Rabbi Yochanan, the son of the glassblower.
You said blacksmith.
Oh, blacksmith, sorry, blacksmith. And it's just interesting that he calls him Bar Nafcha instead of Rabbi Yochanan. If the whole thing is about respecting him, it seems strange. Okay, so now, what does this have to do with anything? We want to say, Lema Rish Lakish Jamarka Rabbi Yehuda. Rish Lakish, who's suspect that this woman's bringing, right, it's a conspiracy. He must hold like Rabbi Yehuda. V'Rabbi Yochanan Jamarka Rabbanan. Right? And Rabbi Yochanan, who holds, just because she's mupsat doesn't mean everyone's, just because, right, doesn't mean everyone else is, would hold like Chachamim that say that, right, remember, Chachamim said, even Mea, right, as long as they say the magic words, Imanu Ayiten, we believe them. Amar l'charish l'kish, so now we're going to say no. Actually, each one of them could hold by both opinions. Amar l'charish l'kish, ana da'amar l'cha filu l'rabbanan. I would agree even with Rabbanan, but I would say like this. Ad kan lo ka'amar Rabbanan hatam, deleka de'kama hadar. In the case of the Mishnah, why is Rabbanan not suspect for a conspiracy? Because every time a cot comes forward and then this other cot knocks them out. But the other cot isn't being brought by anyone in particular that we know about. It's not like there's someone orchestrating this deal that we know about. Whereas the woman keeps bringing witnesses. She's like, oh, I got two witnesses here. Oh, I got two witnesses here. There's clearly someone behind it. Now, there might be someone behind it, but we have no proof of that. So therefore, Rabbanan would agree with me here that we wouldn't say it's a conspiracy. But in our case, Ika de Kamahadra, right? There's a woman who's orchestrating the whole thing. Rabbi Yochanan would say, Amar lecha ana da amre afilu le Rabbi Yehuda. I can even agree that in the Rabbi Yehuda case, I would say it's a conspiracy, but with this woman, I wouldn't. Why? Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yehuda hatam, damrinan atu kule alma gabehane havukaime. Do you think it's really likely that these guys were with the whole world? How could they possibly have been? That's why I said maybe it was a party, right? But how could they possibly have been with every single group of witnesses? It's so preposterous. Aval hacha, hane yade besadute, hane lo yade besadute. But here, we tested out the witnesses. The first two groups, yeah, they didn't stand up to the test. But these guys seem to know their testimony. Nobody knocked it out. We asked them questions. They seem to be legit. So we can't knock them out just because we have a theory of a conspiracy. But here, the edut of the mizinim seems to be problematic, right? To magically you're with all these people seems weird. New Mishnah. Okay, now we have another thing, which is Edim Zomim, this is actually going to, it's one of those cases like the Irani Dacha where we're going to limit it a little bit, or maybe even a lot. Edim Zomim can only become Edim Zomim if they succeeded, okay, on the one hand we say Harago Ein Haragin. If you actually succeed in killing the guy, you're not going to get killed. So when do you get killed? Well, also not if you just testified about him. Only if you testified and he was convicted by the court. Now, if you remember, if it's a death sentence, they would do the conviction and the death punishment in the same day. So there's only a very small window that people could come forward and knock him out, certainly in a nefasho case. In a momento case, maybe, you know, it would take some time until they actually pay the money, and there could be some time. But when it comes to dine nefasho, it's going to be very rare to actually have a case where the edim zomim are going to get killed, okay? So ena edim zomim, and this is neheragin, ad shika meradin. Share hatstukim. Now we're going to see a basic machlok at stukim and prushim. Hatstukim omrim ad shiyeh harei. The stukim say it's only if they get killed. Shneamar, here's a big girsa problem. It should be nefesh bin nefesh. Why nefesh bin nefesh? Because the pasuk is lo tachosen chad. This is the pasuk in the context of edim zomim. Nefesh tacha nefesh. You can see why they made this mistake. Because nefesh bin nefesh is a less known pasuk than nefesh tacha nefesh. We all know the nefesh tacha nefesh, like ayin tacha ayin, chain tacha chain. But that has nothing to do with edim zomim. But what?
We learned pesot tacha.
Right, we learned it there, exactly. So nefesh bin nefesh is in the context of the edim zomim in pesukim. And it says, lo tachosen cha, nefesh bin nefesh ayin ba'ayin, chain b'chain, ya b'ya, rega b'rega. So it must be the nefesh bin nefesh pasuk. So what do they say? Literally it means nefesh bin nefesh. You only take the nefesh of the edim zomim if he caused the death of the other person, right, of the baldin. Amru lahem chachamim, so the chachamim said to the tzdukim, v'alo kvar ne'emar, v'asitem lo ka'asher zaman la'asot la'achiv, v'arei achiv kayam. Okay? So now there's a debate about how to darshan this. Is it ka'asher zaman la'asot la'achiv and not ka'asher asa? But the wording of the Mishnah sounds more like ka'asher zaman la'asot la'achiv. Tried to do to his brother. It would have to be his brother still alive, not his dead brother. The im kain laman. So there's two different ways of reading what the diuk in the pasuk is here. The im kain laman emar nefesh bin nefesh. According to Chachamim, yachomish ashi kablu edutan yahargu. You might have thought from the moment we get their testimony, they get killed. Tamud lamar nefesh bin nefesh. Ha'inan neharagin ad shigamer adin. So the nefesh bin nefesh teaches us it has to be only once this gemar din. Tana. So now we're going to have Baribi Omer. Okay, we have a brayta. Baribi Omer lo harago neharagin. Harago, eine haragim. That's our famous halacha. If they didn't kill, they get killed. But if they did kill, they don't get killed. Amar Aviv, his father says to him, Bini, lav kavachomer hu? Is it not a kavachomer? That, what's the kavachomer? If they don't, right? If they don't kill, they get killed. All the more so, if they do kill, shouldn't they get killed? Amar lo. So he answers, Rabbi answers, limaditanu rabbeinu, she'enon shimin adin. You can't punish someone from a kavachomer. We know that. Ditanya, how do we know that? Isha sheyikachad achoto bat aviv, o bat imo, right? A person who takes his sister, the son of the, right, the sister through his father, or his sister through his mother. And so according to the pasuk, this is going to be very easy, right? So it sounds complicated because if we remember all the arayot are complicated, this is a very easy one. Eili ela bat aviv shelo bat imo. It sounds like only your sister through your mother or through your father, but not your sister from both. Batimo ubat aviv minayin. So where do we learn your sister from both if you share the same mother and father together? Talmud lamar ervat achoto gila. There's an extra part in the pasuk that says the erva of your sister, and there it must mean sister both parent, both of both parents. So then they say, why would you need a special limud for this? Hanshalo yomar yesh libidin. In other words, it's easy to learn out from a kavachomer. Ima nashal bat aviv shelo bat imo, bat imo shelo bat aviv. If you're going to get punished for sleeping with your sister who you only share one parent with, bat aviv ubat imo lo kol shekein, right? Wouldn't it be obvious then you can't sleep with your sister who shares both parents? Halamadit she'enon shimin adin. Okay, what does this prove? You can't learn punishment from a kavachomer because it specifically needs to say it in the pasuk. Now they're going to say the exact same thing. Not only can you not learn a punishment minadim, but also you can't learn the azhara minadim, the warning. Pasuk also has to say it explicitly. Ones shamanu azhara minayin. So where do we learn the warning? Talmud lomar. It's going to be the exact same thing, just when it talks about the psukim, about the warnings, where it doesn't mention the punishments in the ariyot. Remember, the ariyot come up in two different prakim. One is all about the punishments, and one is all about the lotas says, the azhara. Ervat achotcha bat avicha o bat imecha. Again, right? It says it one or the other. Ein li ela bat aviv shelo bat imo. Bat imo shelo bat aviv. Right? We only have from one, they share one parent. Bat aviv u bat imo minayin. So where do we learn both? Talmud lomar. Ervat bat eshet avicha moledet avicha achotcha hi. So we have an additional pasuk to teach about the sister. Why does it say achotcha hi? Achotcha meaning your sister from both. Achelo yomar, why would it need to say this? Yesh li minadim, we can learn it from a kavachomer. My musar al batimo shelo bat aviv, ubat aviv shelo batimo, bat aviv ubatimo lo kol shekein, right? If you already were warned about one side or the other side, why would you need to be warned about both sides? Halamadit she'em asimim minadim. Okay, this all comes to teach you that you can't learn the azhara from a kavachomer. Okay, that was all a side thing about why you can't learn harago, right? Lo harago neharagin, so harago, Kavachomer neheragin, because einon shimin adin. Chayve malkiot minayin. How do we know the chayve malkiot are the same thing? That if you got malkot, then you don't get malkot. Talmud lamar, rasha, rasha. Okay? This is, as again, we're going to learn the rasha, rasha from mita. It's got the same din as mita. Chayve galiot minayin. What about going to the ir miklat? Atir rotzeach, rotzeach. So again, we learn the words rotzeach are mentioned by there, and the word rotzeach mentioned by mita. So the same thing. If you succeeded in sending him to galut, then you don't get the punishment of galut. Or, well, you wouldn't get the punishment of galut anyway. You wouldn't get malkot. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai. Ereb nechama im haragti eid zomem, lohotzi mi libam shel tzdukin. Shayu omrim, ein aidim zomim im neharagin ad sheharega nidon. Here's a really interesting line. Yehuda ben Tabai says, I wish that I could have a situation where I could kill an Eid Zomim. Here you see, by the way, how severe the machlokot with the tzdukim were. He said, halavai and an Eid Zomim would come to me, you tried to kill someone, and I'd be able, first of all, it also shows how rare it was. Right? That it was. I wish that I could have a case so I could kill them when they hadn't actually succeeded in killing the person, so I could show the tzdukim that we're right. Amar lo Shimon ben Shetach, ereb nechamayim lo shafachta dam naki. Now the assumption is that he did it. In other words, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai actually killed an Eid Zomim who tried to kill. Okay, he did it as a way to show the tzdukim. This shows, by the way, sometimes like you're so okay that you do things without thinking. So what happened? He actually killed an Eid Zomim and to show the tzdukim. And comes Shimon ben Shetach and he says, you shafacht adam naki. Why? Because Chachamim said, "Ein adim zomim neragin ad shezim ushnehen." And you killed only one guy. In other words, you were so focused on getting what you wanted done that you missed the point and you totally forgot about some other halacha that you can't do it unless both of them, and both of them in this case, were not Edim Zomimim. Only one of them was knocked off as an Edim Zomimim and not the other one. Right? Big lesson to be learned. He felt terrible and he said, I'm never going to paskin, right? He lost his confidence in terms of psikat halacha. I'm never going to paskin unless you're before me. All the days of his life, he would go to the kever and he would scream out. People thought it was the dead person calling out all the time. They always heard voices coming from there. They thought it was the dead guy. Amar kolihu. Okay? He says, it's my voice. It wasn't the dead guy's voice. It's my voice. Teidu, he says, here's my proof. Lemachar hu meit, ein kolo nishma. As he's talking about himself in the third person. He says, look, you'll see when I die that you won't hear his voice anymore. Ravacha says, much later, he says, Ravashi, that wouldn't actually work in proving anything, because Dilma Bedina kam bahade. Yinami piusa paise. In other words, maybe once Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai dies, he'll get judged in Shamayim for what he did, and then the guy will stop screaming. Or maybe piusa paise, maybe he'll finally, you know, he won't be upset anymore because Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai will be dead and he'll stop screaming, so that won't be able to prove anything. Okay, what the significance of the screaming is and what to make of, you know, why it's significant, whether the people thought, you know, obviously you could see this was this huge embarrassment for him. The rest of his life he spent embarrassed and the people all thought that, you know, this guy was screaming from the kever for what he did to him. You know, anyway, food for thought for Shabbat.
I'm sorry. I'm